Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, welcome in. Good Monday, everyone. All right, do we know what Trumpism is now? President Trump did a better job in the beginning yesterday. I was heartened by a lot. It's some of the things that we talked about that should be drilled down. I know why I started with immigration. It's not just an ongoing theme. There's another reason why I started with immigration yesterday. But did you really need the rehash of the election at the end? Because then that allowed the media to make that the headline. Now you could say, well, they're going to bash anyhow. I get that. But there were other headlines in there, including the definition of Trumpism. Now, it was fine for him to go after Liz Cheney. That probably got the biggest applause line, and a few others. But I'm talking about the rehash of the election count. I kind of muddied the water because, as I predicted last week, and I was happy about this, he laid out sort of, I'd like even more, slow down, go into detail on the election reforms that Republicans have, this Election Reform Integrity Committee that are on. A lot of them are legitimate. So we have some sound to that. But it was, you know, it's very hard to speak that long. What happens to the speaker? I'll tell you what happens. You try to do this, even with an audience that's really into you, for that long of a period of time, they're going to wander a little bit. You're going to feel that. So then you ratchet up and you try to say more colorful things. All right? He had enough colorful stuff in the beginning. It was good enough around that. And the whole CPAC experience was much different. I'll tell you who, arguably, the big winner. Now, I think Trump's support at CPAC, as far as the nominee in 2024, of about 50%, 55% there, is on the cusp of good, but not great. For this reason, you got to understand, CPAC is Trump country. Should be Trump country big time, the way that it's changed when I've been to CPAC. I thought it was going to be higher. The winner, unless you say, well, it was just a favorite some because it was in Florida, was Governor DeSantis. Could DeSantis turn out to be a different model of Trump, sharp with the media? We played you some of that over the period of time. But someone whose direct policies during COVID, and he made mention of that, about the oasis of freedom during the yoke of oppressive lockdowns. Now, do I think DeSantis is a riveting, charismatic figure? No, not yet. But he hasn't been on the national stage enough to determine that. He got 21%. That's pretty big. And when asked about if President Trump does not run, then I'm in the camp where it's a slight edge that he will not run in 2024. But I think it's pretty close. Dan, quick question. I know it's 4 years away. Do you say Trump runs, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. You're going with my Hillary Clinton theory. If she's alive, she's running, right?
Yep.
I didn't feel it. I can't arguably say from yesterday's speech, though, that we got that. I think he would have been more obvious, more blatant, if that were settled in his mind. Now, it could settle after 2022, after the midterms. But if you ask me, did I get that from yesterday? I did not get it from yesterday. All right, so the definition of Trumpism was laid out. I don't know that President Trump has ever said it. This is a good sign. You want to put down on paper, not just blowing past things, all these accomplishments, and what the heck Trumpism is. I'd like to hear more of that. Would you like to hear more of that? Or do you say, I don't care what he says Trumpism is, I just want Trump? Well, is that going to be enough? Probably not. It's got to bring more people on board that get this. And the movement toward a working class party, populism, is huge. I read somebody who I thought, before I play what Trump said Trumpism is yesterday, that said Trumpism is okay with redistribution of income, not to the poor, but to the working class. Now, that word redistribution gets people crazy, I understand. But the idea is it's gone too far. The working class has been left behind, not those who are not working, but the working class. And there are policies there that have favored people unfairly, I think Trump would say, versus the working class. And that's who he tapped into in this last election, whether they were black, Latino, or white. It was there. That's a huge breakthrough. The issue yesterday, and we're going to talk with Liz Priaite-Havey, the chair of the Republicans out of Montgomery County. The breakout issue yesterday, the only one that I saw that can reach these people in the suburbs, and again, Trump said some good things, we'll play them. I would just would like to hear more. Slow it down. Don't talk about a million different things. For example, he brought up women's sports and the transgender thing, but he came up with a construct that mangled it. Dan, did you hear him say, would any coach want to pick a team who's going to lose when these females are playing against actual males? Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard don't know that. I didn't know what he meant there.
There you go. Yeah. If you don't know what he means, if you don't have knowledge going into this segment, okay, now we're going to tell you what Biden has done with this transgendered stuff, which is wildly unpopular. There's got to be a little preamble, you know, and Trump could do it in his own way. Hey, you know, there's these girls in Connecticut. Can you imagine if you had a daughter, they're training, say what I say, they're not just playing around at sports, and these guys come on who really are guys, there's no indication they're not, and they just beat the hell out of them. We're going to see the Olympics, you're going to see that happen. What's going on with that? Use it as your wedge to get into the whole transgender thing. Instead, he made it about some fictitious coach or something, and I think other than people that really follow this, they didn't think, well, what's going on here? Now, he got criticized. Oh, that's what you guys want to talk about, women in sports. Yeah, we do. Shut up. We're going to talk about what we want to talk about. You're not going to diminish it. You don't like it because it hits too close to the truth. When people hear this, they go, look, I don't want to discriminate against anybody, but you can't have men running against women or boys against girls. That's ridiculous. Okay, here's Trump giving us a definition of what Trumpism. I'd love to hear your definition. What does it mean? Is there a Trumpism? Or is it just whatever he says? He attempted it yesterday. This is a good start to put some flesh in this. Here's what he said.
Many people have asked, what is Trumpism? A new term being used more and more. I'm hearing that term more and more. I didn't come up with it. But what it means is great deals, great trade deals, great ones. Not deals where we give away everything, our jobs, money. Like the USMCA replacement of the horrible NAFTA. NAFTA was one of the worst deals ever made, probably the worst trade deal ever made. And we ended it. You know, a lot of people forget, we ended it. Now we have the USMCA, Mexico, Canada. It's incredible what it's done for our farmers, who are doing fantastically. Did you see grain prices and grain sales are at an all-time high? Wheat, all-time high. So many elements of farms and farmers, and they love me. And remember, it's going to be very close in Iowa. Well, it wasn't close. We won in a landslide, Iowa, because our farmers know, and they put up with it. And we did a lot of work with the tariffs and all these things that we had to do to get it. And now the farmers are doing great, but they're setting records. It means low taxes and eliminating job-killing regulations, Trumpism. It means strong borders, but people coming into our country based on a system of merit. So they come in and they can help us, as opposed to coming here and not being good for us, including criminals, of which there are many. It means no riots in the streets. It means law enforcement. It means very strong protection for the Second Amendment and the right to keep and bear arms.
talk about he got down to tell the truth about American history and all those things. So, you know, the crowd not jumping up and down. Look, they're going to jump more at applause lines. That's the first time I've heard him ever, though, go that way. That's a good sign to me. All right, rather than just off-the-cuff stuff, he's actually telling people, "You, this is what you'll get, and you'll get more of it, you got it, and you'll get more of it in the future." Now, on the issue of failure to reopen schools, that is an issue for all Americans. But in addition to that, it is something that plays well, I think, in suburbia. I wrote my column, Dan, over the weekend. How is it that Chester County, Delaware County, Bucks County all agree? 3 feet, kids from each other in school. Montgomery County says, nope, we're not doing that. Is there going to be pressure out there? Here's what Trump said yesterday, President Trump, about Biden and failure to reopen schools.
Callous indifference to working families is equally clear when it comes to the critical matter of getting America's children back to school. And they must get back and get back right now. Right now. Crazy. Terrible. Terrible. The Biden administration is actually bragging about the classroom education they are providing to migrant children on the border, while at the same time, millions of American children are having their futures destroyed by Joe Biden's anti-science school closures. Think of it. We're educating students on the border, but our own people, the children of our citizens themselves, are not getting the education that they deserve. There's no reason whatsoever why the vast majority of young Americans should not be back in school immediately. The only reason that most parents do not have that choice is because Joe Biden sold out America's children to the teachers' unions.
All right, that's a good start. I would like to hear a factoid or two, some stuff. Give Trump some more stuff to put in there. That's accurate, but prove it. Reach out more. Put some more facts around that rather than just saying it. I thought that was a good moment, though. That's a big issue.
You should listen to the most recent episode of Reading, Writing, and Reason with
Anthony Walker. There you go. That's exactly right.
Great ideas in there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Up at 1210WPHT.com, the Catholic schools. Throw the Catholic schools in there. This guy needs better people, Dan, working with him. Now, I don't know if he resisted it, and he said, I don't want to say all that stuff. That's the stuff that I think helps stick and break through. A good stat, an interesting stat, and play with it, or a story, an anecdote in there, rather than just saying this, this, and it. It's true, but it doesn't reverberate. It doesn't have legs, I think, coming out. So I like the Trumpism. I give this about a B-plus yesterday as a different type of thing, maybe a B. But given the hunger for the reopening of this, there's more that could be done. All right, I'm going to change my side question of the day. I was all set. I'll tell you what goes on behind the scenes. I saw that yesterday was the anniversary of the last show of MASH. I think it got about 105 million people watching, Dan. Now, that's back in the day. What was it, 1983-ish, I'm thinking, where you had few channel choices. In fact, that was the most watched other than a Super Bowl for a long time.
You know, I've never seen an episode of MASH.
Well, you got to see it in the heyday of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was really good.
That's like one of the biggest glaring holes of my pop culture knowledge is I've just never taken the chance to watch MASH, and I highly regret it.
I became friendly with Mike Farrell, and it started out with a hand-to-hand combat over Mumia, who's in the news.
Wow.
And Mike Farrell's a good guy, though. After that, you know, we brought him on. We debated people, death penalty. He was very good. Loved coming on in Philadelphia, yeah. All right, so I was going to say your favorite final episode of a show, and I was going to defend The Sopranos. I think that was a great final episode. People go nuts attacking it, you know, because of the blackout at the end and all that. But you have a better one, broader. People have more fun with this. best military TV show, meaning series.
Yep.
You know, that kind of thing over the course of time. I'm thinking of mine now since I've shifted.
I love the idea of best ending. I feel that people mostly remember the bad endings rather than the good endings.
Maybe,
you know? So military shows. I think there's so many good ones out there.
Give us your top of mind.
My all-time best. I'll have a couple I'll throw out today, but my all-time best, my all-time favorite, probably 24.
Oh, you see that as a military show.
Yeah.
Well, counter-terror. Yeah. Well, yeah. No. If you ask me, one of my favorite Mount Rushmore characters, Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, he's great.
As Jack.
And
when, no spoiler alert, when Nina says, no, you can't make a deal with me, you got to kill him too. I don't care where I am in the world, you know what'll come and get me. Yeah, that Jack Bauer character. My God, that's who we want on the front lines. All right, 855-839-1210. you get on board. Side question, we put you in the running for Captain Chuckie's $50 gift certificate. Today's the day. I don't think they're open yet. I don't know what time the earliest to Captain Chuckie's opens of the 14 locations. But today is soup day. And if you've been waiting, they'll have it on the shelves today. Now, on Friday, we went to the Flower Town, and they told me they had already sold one of Dan's, the small container, not the big one yet. I, of course, had to buy a rose one there just to tie up the score. Nobody will ever know. All right, so today starts the great soup race at Captain Chuckie's, the Dan soup versus the Farfalle. So if you're out and about, maybe lunchtime before, if you're going to a Captain Chuckie's, let us know. I think they open at 10, Dan. You can check WeLoveCrabCakes.com.
I'm looking around. It's between 10 and 11, depending on the location.
Ah.
So just Google the location, and you'll find it at any time.
Let us know if you're buying one of the soups as part of whatever you're buying. And then get it home before the end of the show. Taste it and tell us. All right. So it's 855-839-1210. You get on board. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just pushed #1210. Are you pretty satisfied yesterday? I saw some progress there. I give you my critique, though. It's about winning, where the topics were good, but the presentation needs more to convince more people. You don't win just because you win CPAC. You know, that's not a winner. Trump has broken through with the working class, as no Republican has. But it's two steps forward, two steps back, maybe, with these other Republicans. How many of them are there? And it was fine to take a shot at Liz Cheney. She does lean toward never-ending wars. That was accurate. And she's gone out of her way to go after Trump. He did name Pat Toomey, too. Oh, man.
Life is dull. It's nothing.
Hey,
but
good Monday, everyone. Welcome in. So, getting a lot of emails. People feeling good seeing President Trump back on the scene yesterday. I saw any number. Why did he start with immigration? Well, so a study out today that Rasmussen has been chronicling how people feel about this for the last 16 months. 10 specific questions on immigration, illegal immigration. And it's shocking, since January-ish, when it was known Biden would be taking office, how approval of this stuff has gone down. Even the sanctified dreamers, approval of that, it's dropping like a rock. So I think that's why Trump got back to the basics yesterday and led with illegal immigration. And because it's about ready to burst, it's at the border, we're seeing this play out again. He even mentioned that's what he started off with when he came down the escalator. And during the campaign, I didn't hear that much of it. I think other issues, COVID, et cetera, dwarfed it maybe. Maybe that's why they didn't do it. But yesterday he led with it. I think the school issue, more could have been done with that. Now, the election integrity issue. All right, here's a little bit of President Trump, and I think he put out 6 or 7 things. But again, this is not about going back to the previous election, okay? I'm getting emails from people, Dan, they can't stand hearing that. They still think they're going to relitigate that. That's not what this is about. This tenor of it yesterday was different when he talked about the reforms, because the reforms are things that we've been talking about that were obvious. It's problematic, though, to win on them. For example, here in Pennsylvania, We shouldn't have mail-in balloting. Trump mentioned that. I'll play it in a minute. Yeah, but Wolf is going to veto it. They don't have enough to overcome it. The stupid Republicans put mail-in balloting in. They thought they were going to win. They got something for it. The idiocy of it, to think that would not backfire. And Wall Street Journal's got a big piece today saying, right, wrong, or indifferent, there's not going to be confidence in elections until we put these reforms in. Not wild Rudy Giuliani crazy stuff, voting machines and the like. I'm talking about stuff that's right in front of us. Here's what President Trump said, and this is partial list. He talked about voter ID and all these other things. Here's what he said.
We need one election day, not 45, 30. One day, like it's been. And if Republicans don't get this and the other things I'm going to say, then you should, like the Supreme Court, be ashamed of yourselves. One day, and the only people that should be allowed to vote by mail are people that can be proven to be either very sick or out of the country or military where they can't do it. One day, they have millions and millions of ballots sitting around all over the place for long periods of time. Gee, I wonder what happens with those ballots. I wonder what happens.
Okay, and he went on to talk about voter ID. He went on to talk about the signature thing. He went on to talk about all of them. And Republicans have formed committees. They're working on this. They got to get some wins on this, though. But it's not going to be easy. The Supreme Court, which would not take up these claims, as any reasonable person knows they should have done before the election to settle this stuff. You know what the broadest claim is? The legislature sets the rules of execution of the election, not some flunky court, not some secretary of state, not some Wolfman hack. Now, that's not alleging fraud. It's just alleging that's the process. It's not alleging. It's saying it is. Supreme Court's looking at an Arizona case. They start tomorrow. Wall Street Journal talks about it today, how important this is. Here, the Supreme Court might vote to curtail, under the so-called Voting Rights Act, anything that you do in these areas as being racially discriminatory. You're trying to stop. For example, they say that you have to vote in your precinct, the precinct that you're registered in, on Election Day in Arizona. They're saying that might be racist and violate the Voting Rights Act. It's tough to take. You know, I put up on Twitter this morning, again, people looking at Kavanaugh in this. And I'm, you know, I'm not on the inside picking it, you know, to say, hey, how do they pick Kavanaugh? Because I thought Coney Barrett was a lock. She refuses to look at this stuff. So Trump and his people, whoever advised, I think we definitely have a miss here with Kavanaugh. Gorsuch, I don't think so. Coney Barrett, too early to tell. If we had the Kavanaugh vote, we got 5-4. This is where it comes down to. If the Supreme Court rules on this, that all these things would be curtailing African-American, Latino voting rights, it's going to be very difficult then to win on any of these voter ID and everything else. That's where it's headed. Now, I'm not sure what they're going to do on this. It seems pretty clear to me that Arizona's correct. But Republicans are right, but they have to couch it in the manner of saying, this is rule of law, this is the Constitution, let's not get off into meandering about all kinds of wild claims of trucks with ballots in it and all that stuff. That's damaging. Stick to the facts here. And the facts are on the side of Trump. All right, let's go to Scott on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Scott, welcome in.
Good morning, Mr. Giordano. Hope all is going well with you. I'd like to say how proud I am of President Trump and his deliverance of his speech at CPAC yesterday in Orlando, Florida. To me, he's a hero. He exposed the swamp. He would have probably finished draining the swamp if he had been allowed to serve another 4 years. Election wasn't stolen from him. I don't think America can survive till 2024 with Joseph Stalin Biden as president. I really don't. This man belongs to be committed to a nursing home. He doesn't know what day of the week is. If you listen carefully to Biden, His speech is garbled. He can't complete a sentence. It's a mess, his thought processes. And I don't even think, for example, that he even ordered the attack on Syria. I think that was done by his underling. I wouldn't be surprised if Kamala Harris has something
to
do with
it. No, I don't think Kamala Harris. Now, here's how Andy McCarthy put it, to your point. Maybe he put it more clearly. Joe Biden is like a first-class passenger on this jet, and the jet is being run by people that were in the Obama administration. So it's Klein, it's people like that. That's where we're going. All right, I think he had Gomer Pyle as his military. We'll take that.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Gomer Pyle's like a very good one. Yeah, 855-839-1210. Coming up, we're going to talk with Liz Priate-Havey, the head of Republicans out of Montgomery County. And, you know, I've raised the question, how are all these other counties saying kids should be back in school? Chester, one of the most dysfunctional school districts. I know this is a lot to say, but if it were up to me, I would say Chester is more dysfunctional, Dan, than Philadelphia. And that's from a national education expert, me, allegedly. That's my analysis. And yet they're going to be back to school on Tuesday. I'm not sure if that includes high school, but it might. And the reason is the Chester County doctor said 3 feet of distance, the whole thing, right? Delaware County, any number of schools are surveying parents. They're going to be back within a week. And Bucks County already has a lot of schools. So are the people in Montgomery County going to stick with this alleged expert, Valerie Arcouche? Is that what's going to happen? We'll ask her about that. But I wanted to get her take. In the suburbs, how does this play out? Obviously, all the polling data is indicating that people are feeling shaky about Biden. I don't know. How do people kid themselves? Oh, it won't be that bad. You know, that this guy doesn't appear to be in charge of a lot of things. When he is in charge, it appears to be he's gone further left than anybody. I don't see how he's zigging and zagging at all. He's just moving to the left on just about everything. Pipeline down, transgenderism, all these things. The bombing in Syria, President Trump used the same tactic. Now, are they after different things on that? That's not that big of a deal. Now, doing it early on, I get all that. But how did this play out? Trump raised the school issue. That's a big issue in the suburbs. What's the hottest issue in the suburbs right now of Philadelphia? As far as the Republican Party reaching people, what would you say it is if you're in the suburbs?
Schools.
I think it's schools. I've been saying schools, 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 schools. And you just don't use schools. You use schools. You drill. Here's how you work it. You drill down to the specifics, and then you broaden out to what this says about the mentality of Valerie Arcouche and people like that. It's not just a one-off, and then it's over when schools reopen, if they ever do. You use it to make your point about what they'll do on other things. That's the number one issue. Dan's right, I think.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.